This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz at BayCare Ballpark in Clearwater at Philly Spring Training with Philly's first baseman, or influencer now, Bryce Harper.
Yep, here I am.
Was it – the TikTok video seemed like they came out of nowhere. You know, was the motivation to start doing that? I was like, I can't believe this guy does this much cooking and stuff at home.
Yeah, I love to cook, man. I do. I enjoy it. I was doing it, so I was like, let's see what people think. And the first views got like 3 million views on it.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, okay. And, people started reaching out and seeing if I wanted to do it. And, it's been tough in spring, obviously, when you get back to work and you're so focused on that. It's I've been cooking still, but the video stuff and the editing, I'm just like, all right, we'll figure it out whenever I can. But I enjoy it. I enjoy cooking for my family and obviously my body and things like that, taking care of it, doing it the right way. So it's been fun.
I was a little jealous. I was like, this guy's making coffee and it looks interesting. I have to think so hard about being interesting, and you're natural, man. You're good at it.
TikTok's great, man. You can learn a lot of stuff. It's crazy, like the recipes and the people and all the stuff. They put step by step kind of what you need to do, and I can type in whatever food I want to do, and it's just like, all right, here we go. People have done it before, and so I just try to follow it the best I can, and it's been pretty good. Some have been bad, some have been good, and kids like it, so we'll be good.
You're so right about TikTok.
I discovered
TikTok like a year and a half ago.
You get lost, bro.
Yeah. and I've been locked in on it ever since, man. You're right. I mean, and there are a lot of different chefs and cooks on TikTok.
I mean, you can do your barbecue stuff.
Yeah.
You can do, oven. I mean, anything, like air fryer, all that stuff. It's you get all your little recipes, and I know it's kind of crazy, but it's good stuff.
So we know you like to do that in your spare time, like during the off season. Anything else you're into?
I like to fish. That's fun, especially in spring training. I think that's really one thing that I do a lot, right off the dock, and it's great with the kids too. They love being outside, and that's about it.
Now fishing, right? Sitting out there, chance to sort of clear your mind, be.
Yeah, I mean,
it's more relaxing, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's nice. Just being out with the kids. I mean, it's that's the biggest thing. They love being on the dock and hanging out and looking at fish and throwing rocks in the water, right?
Yeah,
seeing how far they can throw it, how far they can skip.
That's right, so, skipping rocks.
That's right, they love that.
I don't know if Jack ever skipped rocks.
He's this generation too busy playing video games.
Listen, you get a little Chad Bradford. You can make that thing.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Can you believe you're halfway through your deal this year?
I know. That's crazy. Ken Rosenthal just told me that. That's wild. That's wild.
Has it lived up to everything you thought? Like, what would you tell yourself when you signed, about Bryce Harper now?
Yeah, from my side, obviously, it's been great. My family's been – it's been really fun. And just the relationships I've gained in this clubhouse, and from, our clubhouse staff to our chefs to our trainers to the workers at the stadium to, fans, everything. I think it's been great. Obviously, we haven't done what we wanted to do in these 6 years, but – from a personal side, just away from the game and everything, it's been a lot of good.
You should know the moment that you signed. It was it was such a big moment for us that we all remember exactly at the radio station where we were standing, how everyone reacted. It was a big moment for us too. When I say us, I mean fans.
Now, we're being honest. We spent the early portion of the day saying he's not coming.
Yes. Yeah.
We basically had given up on.
Well, it took a long time. That's
you know, it did, up. Man. It did. I mean, going through the whole process was crazy. I mean, it's. I didn't think it was going to take that long, but there weren't too many teams that we really talked to. Obviously, we talked to the White Sox and San Diego, San Fran, L.A. late. We had conversations with, I guess I won't say, but those four teams were, four or five teams were really into it. But, then later on, obviously, San Diego signs Machado, so San Fran comes in. They all made me the same offer. Chicago was a little higher, things like that. But I just felt Philly was it. I mean, once I, kind of met with John and Lee and, Kapler, obviously, meeting with him. I mean, he kind of sold me a little bit on it, too. Obviously, Reese and a lot of guys that were here. I just saw the dynamic. I saw kind of where the organization was going and what they wanted to do. It's been great. I mean, the day I signed, or the day before I signed, I remember standing in front or inside my house in my closet, and I had my Phillies bag already packed, and it had a Phillies P on it, and it was sitting on the thing. And Scott called me and was like, "Hey, San Fran came in." And I was like, "I'm a Philly, like for sure." And he was like, hold on. I was like, no, like, we're going to the Phillies. Like, my bag's already packed. Like, I'm ready to go. And so the next day we flew out, and we're here in Clearwater. So, it's been good.
With Bryce Harper in Clearwater for Philly spring training. I didn't expect to talk about Gabe Kapler, actually, but you just you brought up the name. It was actually, when I'm looking back from an electricity and conversation standpoint for the Phillies, it really was you and him. He was the first manager in forever that was interesting and that we could fight about all the time. There was the curveball machine moment, all that stuff. So it was definitely a moment in time that I think we'll always remember. It certainly started off your career here in an interesting way.
Yeah, I enjoyed Cap. I mean, obviously, like, fans and media, and it was tough, baseball-wise and things like that. But as a person and professional and stuff like that, like, I enjoyed him. I mean, I thought he was a really cool person and a good player manager, I guess. He took care of us and just didn't work out. Obviously, he's doing his own thing down in Miami now, so I wish him all the best.
So last year when we talked to you, it was pretty clear that you and when we talked to Trey, and everybody was very intent on starting off strong, winning the division, obviously win a World Series, but that was in your sights. And you did that, you won the division, you started off strong, that season didn't end the way you wanted. Coming into this year, how do you approach having done that now and looking at figuring out the right way to approach this season based on sort of how last year worked out?
I just want to win the last game of the year. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the biggest thing. Obviously, get into the postseason and win the last game of the year. I mean, there's no other thing that, like, our mind should be on besides that. I mean, I think as a team and organization, as we come into spring training every year, you're wanting to win and you're wanting to succeed. But I want to win that last game. I mean, I think everybody's mindset should be that. We have a really good opportunity. Our pitching staff's incredible. Sanchi was throwing 98 yesterday, the other day. Lizardo's throwing 98 the other day with plus off-speed stuff. Ranger's doing his thing. Alvarado looks great. Jordan Romano, huge upside guy. He threw well the other day. We got a really good sense of what type of team we are. Obviously, as an offense, we can always be better. Cutting down our strikeouts, playing the game a little bit better in big situations, big moments, big spots, getting guys over, things like that. Not relying so heavily on the homer. Obviously, that's the thing that we're going to do. We're going to bang. But knowing that we need to kind of, round off the edges a little bit and get a little bit better in the batter's box as a team and as an organization, I think that's huge. Just winning that last game. I mean, I think that's the goal. I think that's the ultimate thing that we need to do as a team, as an organization, and just got to get to work.
For ball players, you just mentioned about the approach at the plate. For yourself, do you think that's going to be challenging for you? Like, you've been approaching the game a certain way. You feel comfortable with it? And in B, in general, when you get older players that have been doing it a certain way for so long, how difficult is that to sort of change your mindset and your approach?
Yeah, I think as an individual, I say my OBP and my or my OPS and my OBP always needs to be high. If that's high, then you know I'll be right where I need to be. And I think that kind of takes care of everything else. You know, if your OPS and your OBP is high, then I think you know you're good in all those other spots. From a team standpoint, we just got to adapt. You know, I think obviously we're going to hit the homer. I mean, it's just I think that's something that we do. We're going to hit the homer. We're going to do. We're going to hit a lot of doubles and score a lot of runs. But we just got to understand that, you know, big moments, big situations, we can't try to do too much and just got to play our game.
You're a guy that's very aware of what the front office is doing. Were you satisfied with how they approached this offseason?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't talk too much with anybody this offseason with that kind of stuff. It was just kind of, hey, we're going to do our thing and, you know, let's do your thing, Dave. You know, I think we have all the trust in him to do what he needs to do. And, you know, I thought Jordan was a great add for us, huge upside guy. He's kind of nuts, so that's also good. I think he's going to fit right in with everybody around. But, you know, Lizardo, too. I mean, I was pumped about the Lizardo thing because when you face him in Miami, it's not fun. I mean, their pitching staff in Miami, everybody talks about, oh, the Marlins are bad. Like, their pitching staff's always good. And so, you know, I wonder if they asked for Sandy first and then said, hey, let's get Lizardo, too. That'd have been nice. But, you know, getting Lizardo, man, it's been a lot of fun. He's an absolute stud, and I don't like facing him, so I'm glad he's on our team.
There's, especially with the not one change, really, in the lineup, we talk about, a lot of people talk about, maybe even too much, where everybody hits in the lineup. Can you explain from your perspective as a hitter, what is the difference for you between hitting? You said you've hit second, you've hit third, you've hit fourth. What is the difference for you hitting in those different spots in the lineup?
For me, in the three spot or the four, you just got a little bit more time to kind of watch the approach of guys in front of you. I like that, seeing pitches. When I was in D.C., I hit a lot of, behind Jason Wirth. And, you know, he saw a lot of pitches in his whole career. He was always seeing a lot of pitches. So I enjoyed that. Same thing with Rendon. I enjoyed that as well. So being a little bit deeper, you get to see a little bit more. But, I mean, when they put me in the four spot in 22, I mean, I was totally fine with that. I think it was like, was it Schwarber, Reese, JT, I think, and then me. I think that's what it was, in the postseason that year. So I was totally fine with that. And then I hit two a little bit too early in my career as well in D.C. I think I hit two maybe here a little bit and let off a little bit too in 19 or 18. That was 18. I don't know. But, I mean, just a different dynamic, I guess, just seeing pitches and seeing guys in front of you hit a little bit more. But I told Tomper, I said, I don't really care. I mean, wherever you want to put me, obviously I'm comfortable in the three and the four and the two, like whatever you want to do. So.
Is there something real to the, or is this just something that like media and fans talk about? If you're hitting two, having more good hitters behind you as like protection, is that a real thing? Do you feel like you get more pitches to hit if there's guys behind you that are a little more threatening?
I don't know. I mean, I'm a 29-30% strike guy usually. So I'm not really sure. I think it's kind of been that way my whole career. You know, it's just like if we go into Atlanta and we circle the name on Acuna, or we go into LA and we circle Freddie Freeman's name and or Shohei, like you're not going to let those guys beat you. Same thing with Lindor going into, you know, New York. So I think it just depends on what team you're playing, depending on who they're going to pick of which guy you're going to circle and not let them beat you.
Yeah, you just mentioned some of those other teams. This is a pretty good division. It was pretty good last year. Three teams made it. I'll be surprised if the same three don't make it again this year. When you look at this division, how do you feel like you got to stack up with what New York did this offseason, bringing in Soto? And then, obviously, you look at what team? I think
the
Atlanta. Yeah, I think Atlanta not having Acuna, but they're going to have him back this year.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to get Strider back, too, and they'll find somebody in their farm system that throws 98 to 100 and snaps off a curveball or a changeup, and you're sitting there going, golly, who's this guy? Cranny's doing it again.
Where did he come from?
Exactly. So I think that's just kind of how the East is, man. It's the NL East always has been that way, I feel like. It's always been a pretty good juggernaut throughout my career, and just depends on how everybody's playing, staying healthy, understanding that the Mets are going to be good and, you know, the Braves are going to be good, and obviously the teams out west, and you can never count on a lot of teams that are in this game. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, Spencer Strider's coming back too. So, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited. You know, it's you never know what's going to happen. So that's the great thing about baseball.
Did you watch, obviously you watched the Eagles Super Bowl. Do you feel any extra like motivation off of what they did and like seeing the parade down Broad Street and like envisioning that that could be you?
Yeah, it's sick. I mean, why would you not want it? You know, any time that you're able to win, and especially in the city of, you know, brotherly love, man, it's I heard it's the best thing in the world. So I heard that all through my career with Jason. I mean, that's all he talked about, you know. So all those guys come back, that's what they talk about a lot, man. But also they always say, just you're your own team, be your own team, go in there, do your thing. So if I wasn't if I didn't say I wasn't excited to hopefully do that one day, I'd be nuts, because that was pretty electric.
Jason Worth got the whole experience here. He got to be hero, and then he left, and then he got to be. But we love him, though. You know, that was a villain with love. You know, deep in our heart. If you put us on a lie detector,
it's funny,
we love
every
Jason
time Jada Worth would come in, I swear he'd hit a homer to left center and just walk around the base. Like, it was just like the love hate thing, and it was kind of empty at that time too. So he was like, he'd always tell me, like, man, you just don't get it. Like, you don't get it yet. Like, this place is electric when it's, you know, when it's filled and, you know, 45,000 people in here, there's nothing like it. So it was pretty cool hearing his stories about, you know, Chooch and Utley and Rollins and Aaron Rowan and all those guys, man. It's pretty cool.
Is your goal is to win a World Series. That no question that is what you're focused on. The core of this team, you know, guys are older than 30, a couple of guys with deals coming up real soon, Schwarber and JT and Castellanos. Is there a moment where you think about that core and say, hey, as a group, this could be our last chance as a group to get something like this done if we don't? Is that something that goes through your mind?
I think there's realness in that. I mean, I don't think anybody can sit here and say it's not a possibility, you know, not being able to have those guys in the clubhouse next year. We got a great opportunity this year. You know, I don't want anybody to think that, you know, those guys won't be back or it's not a possibility. Obviously it is. We have some really good guys in the minor leagues that are coming up too, so you just never know. But we have a really cool opportunity to go out, you know, the right way with this group and finish the job per se and, you know, get it done.
Still got the same level or even greater level of excitement about being here, Phillies, you know, taking your team to up north and getting the season started?
Hell yeah. I mean, I can't wait, man. Like, there's nothing like it. I mean, everybody, you know, this, that, and the other, but there's nothing like going and playing in the bank, man. I've loved every moment going out there, the good and the bad. Obviously, the main goal is, like you said, to win and winning that last game and doing things the right way. But putting on the Philly P every day, man, and going in there playing for the Phillies, just seeing the vibe in the stadium and in the city and everything else, it's there's nothing like it.
So before we let you go, we have to ask you about the Fanatic tattoo, right? So I was talking with Ike about it on the air last week, and he mentioned he's got to fill it in, because he's like I'm jealous, because white guys, they can get more color on their tattoos. Or do you have plans?
Just a light skinned brother.
First of all, how long had you been thinking about it? And second of all, any plans for color?
Nah, I won't go color on it.
Okay.
No.
Oh, see,
wow.
Can I tell you, in real life, the black and gray, like the detail comes, it looks. You see more of it in real life than on the photos.
Yeah. I wanted it to be like when I hit, you can kind of see it, and then he's kind of like riding off my arm.
There you go.
I don't know. I just didn't want to do the color.
It looks
good on you.
Oh,
the color and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's really where I got it from.
Like, yeah. Yes. Yeah. No, I don't know. I've been wanting it for a while. I just wasn't sure what I kind of wanted the Fanatic to do, and I was like, man, him on his ATV is like iconic. So, he's with me for life, man. He'll be buried with me.
Those little fine line black and gray ones are cool.
Yeah,
my wife has one of her dogs. It's been
good. I like it. So.
All right, man. Well,
mine too.
Yeah. Well, man, last year didn't end the way that you guys wanted, the way that anybody wanted, but you still got, as you mentioned, you guys have a great team, and we're expecting a lot, as we always are, and we're excited to see you in the games for real very soon.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, I think everybody should expect a lot. You know, I think that's the thing when you play. I mean, it's just the expectation should be there, you know, as individuals and as a team. So fan base, everybody, they should all expect, you know, greatness out of all of us and to win. So we just got to do it.
There he is, Bryce Harper. Well, all right.
There he is, Bryce Harper on the WIP Afternoon Show. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Thank you, by the way, Bryce Harper, for being so generous with your time. Mark's Jewelers are jewelers, not just jewelry resellers. Experience the difference at marks-jewelers.com. Should we give Elliot Shore Parks credit for saying the Eagles would get the bond deal done before free agency? 52.4% say no.
Wow, we love a 50-50.
I'm a 50-50.
No. So here's another question, and we'll get into this next, and we'll also do the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. And Ike, I don't want you to give your answer yet.
Okay.
I just want you – I think I know what your answer is, but I want you to hold it for when we talk about it. So the Eagles have signed the free agent, their free agent that we all thought they would most likely re-sign. That's Zach Bond. That leaves three more from the big four of their free agents: Mekhi Becton, Milton Williams, Josh Sweat. Of those three, who is the most important for them to re-sign if they re-sign one of them? We will get into that next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.